Good morning, church. Good to see you today. I think you're out there. You're still getting used to this these new lights here. Man, thank you so much for all of your love, care, and support over the last week. I'm excited to tell you, Tucker finally got moved to a regular room about midnight last night. Yeah. So if I'm a little tired, I've got an excuse, all right? So anyway, but lots of prayers. Hopefully Monday morning we get to go to a rehab center and we'll start that journey. People are like, what's his prognosis? We don't know. We'll find that out a couple days into rehab, and so I'll let you know when I know. But the first few days were pretty dark. He was, you know, you have an accident like that, you're in your head, and so he's his feisty self back. You know, it's returning, which is really good. He thought his new room was like a prison cell, so you know, that was his comment. I'm just in prison, so I'm like, let's not go try that next, okay? Let's stick with the hospital for now. So thank you for all of your support and encouragement, your love. The space, and just, man, the team's been great jumping in and making sure. For the first time in my ministry career, all I did this week was write a sermon, all right? So people who think, oh, preachers, all they do is preach on Sunday, right? This week, I actually just did that, and I'm excited to do that because we're going to start a new series in the book of Jeremiah. How many of you have ever read through the book of Jeremiah? Okay, and how many of you think, oh, this is just a fantastic book to work through? That's what I thought, right? Because, you know, if we took it verse by verse by verse, I'm pretty sure all of us would probably croak in the middle of it. Like, just, it's a thick book. So what we're going to do over the next 9 weeks is we're just going to highlight some of Jeremiah's life and apply it to us. And I'm excited about that because I think there's a lot there that we can resonate with. I will tell you this, that John Piper once said, he said, no pastor lives up to what he preaches. And that's true, all right? And the reason I say that is because I've been talking to God a lot this week, and one of the things I've been saying is, wow, you didn't have to give me a really, really big real-life example of what I'm preaching through, right? And so Piper says, no pastor lives up to what he preaches. If he does, he's preaching too low. And here, we're not going to preach low. We're going to preach high. We're going to raise the bar, and we're going to try to reach that. And so let me tell you a little why we're in Jeremiah. Last winter, I read a book called A Burning in My Bones, which is basically a biography about Eugene Peterson, who wrote The Message. And Peterson was just writing or talking about a particular section in the book about his relationship with his son, Eric. And his son, Eric, his favorite book in the entire Bible was the book of Jeremiah, which led me to reading the book that Peterson wrote called Running with Horses. He wrote it and dedicated it to his son, and so it was written in honor of his son. And so I started reading through Jeremiah. I read Running with Horses, and the book is filled with not so much joyful and hopeful stuff until you get to the end of it. Some of it's really dark. And so the book of Jeremiah, and I'll just set the setting for you, was written in the last days of the kingdom of Judah. And the prophet is named Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called by God to do something very specific, probably around the age of 17 and 18. Often, Jeremiah is referred to as the weeping prophet because he cries a lot. All right? And so some of you are like, oh, I already like him. Right? I'm already with him. And so he's the weeping prophet because his ministry, the thing that God asked him to do, was incredibly difficult. It was really, really, really hard. And Jeremiah lived during one of the most turbulent times in all of Israel's history. It was about 600 years before Jesus. And what his job was to warn the people and their leaders about how Babylon was going to invade and take them, lead them to an exile out of their land. Why? Because they continued to persist in their really sinful habits. They continued to reject God's promises, and they ignored the covenant that God had made with them. And so because of this, they were going to face some really hard, difficult, challenging, terrible circumstances. And then finally, at the end of the book, there are some promises of restoration. A new covenant is declared. Guess who that new covenant is? Jesus, right? And there's going to be a return to this promised land. And so then the end of Jeremiah reminds us that there is always hope for a future, regardless of how dark the circumstances might be. Jeremiah was rejected. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was thrown into a cistern. And yet he spent the majority of his life proclaiming a message very few people actually wanted to hear. And Jeremiah understood hardship. He understood weariness. He understood discouragement. And so we're going to spend 9 weeks looking specifically at the life and the calling of Jeremiah. And it's our desire that this series will help us actually pursue a life, a spiritual life of spiritual resilience, of spiritual courage, and of authenticity. We're going to be challenged to run with horses instead of settling for mediocrity. We'll reflect on Jeremiah's life. We'll look at his calling, and we'll draw similarities, I think, to our own faith journeys. And every week, we want to challenge ourselves. So here it is. You can decide if you're going to show up the next 9 weeks or not. We're going to challenge ourselves to step out of complacency, to step out of comfort, so that we can pursue a life that reflects our great and awesome God and His purposes and His excellence. We want to live boldly and authentically in our own faith. Doesn't that sound good? Man, it does to me. And so this week, we're going to just kind of do a quick overview. We're going to bring the purpose of the book. And so we're going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 12, almost the middle of the book. And we're going to look at Jeremiah's invitation to actually run with horses. In Jeremiah chapter 12, Jeremiah cries out. He's frustrated. This is one of those dark moments in his own journey. He's frustrated. He's annoyed. He's irritated. He wants to throw in the towel. Have you ever been like that? Have you ever thought, God, how much more can you dump? Like, I'm over this. How much more can life throw at me before I just want to go hide somewhere? Anybody? Well, this is Jeremiah. He's tired. He's tired of the struggle. He's tired. He's asking, why is life so hard? This is what it says, Jeremiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I complain to you. I like that. You know, it's this little preface. Hey, I'm going to grumble for a minute, and you're righteous, so let's get that out of the way. Have you ever grumbled like this before? You know, before it happens all the time in the church. Hey, Tom, I don't want to complain too much, but, right? And it's always, man, there's a really lot of great things going on, but. And so this is Jeremiah. It's perfect. He's totally human. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I complain to you. Yet I would plead my case before you. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all who are treacherous, why do they thrive? You plant them and they take root, they grow and they produce fruit. You are near in their mouth and far from their heart. In other words, he's saying, I'm preaching to these people, I'm declaring the message you want me to declare, and these people are so far from you. They pretend, they talk, they do all the stuff. But you, O Lord, you know me, you see me, and you test my heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and set them apart for the day of slaughter. How long will the land mourn and the grass of every field wither for the evil of those who dwell in it? The beasts and the birds are swept away because they said, he will not see our latter end. And so you can hear it. He's irritated. He wants to know why these evil people keep prospering, why they keep getting away with stuff. He wants to know, God, why are you putting up with this? They celebrate you with your mouth, but they are so far from you. And he's saying, I'm over it. I'm tired. Jeremiah is torn down. He's worn out. And when Jeremiah had faced more opposition than humanly possible, and when Jeremiah was about to throw in the towel, when Jeremiah, frankly, if you're really to read this, just wanted to die. When Jeremiah was about to deny his own call, when he just wanted to be in the crowds with everyone else and not have this special invitation from God, God answered him. In chapter 12, verse 5, it says this. If you have raced with men on foot, and they have wearied you out, how in the world will you compete with horses? He says, and if in a safe land you are trusting, what will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? Man, if you've worn out just trying to keep up with the Joneses, if you've worn out just trying to be like everybody else, then how in the world are you going to run with the horses, which I've called you to do? And it's an invitation here. In other words, Jeremiah is saying, life is hard. And God's saying, yeah, Jeremiah, life is hard. Are you going to give up when you face opposition? Are you going to turn back when life doesn't go the way you expect it to go? Are you going to check out when you'd rather play it safe instead of take any risks? Jeremiah, is that what you want? Are you going to live cautiously or are you going to live courageously? Are you going to just live like everybody else or are you going to be set apart like I've invited you to be set apart? Are you going to live your best life pursuing righteousness with a hunger for excellence? I mean, isn't this how we are sometimes? Really? It's so much easier to live life when we only have to worry about 3 meals a day, a paycheck, and a place to sleep, right? It's easier to be pessimistic and melancholy. It's easier to be a life-sucking dependent. It's easier to do these things, but none of these things are more fulfilling. God reminds Jeremiah and he reminds you and me that we were made for more in this life than we actually think we're capable of. That we've been designed, we've been created for more. We are reminded that God gives us a strength to get us to fulfill everything we were created for, which we'll look at next week back to chapter 1. When we face challenges, when we face unexpected and unanticipated difficulties, are we just ready to quit? If we were worn out doing life with just the average, ordinary person around us, what will life really be like when it actually starts? And so God is asking Jeremiah here, what do you really want? And I think that's the question God has for us. What do you really want? Like at the end of the day, what do you really want? Does Jeremiah just want to move along with the rest of the crowd or does he want to run with the horses? What about you? Do you just want to move along in life with the rest of the people, get your paycheck, eat your meals, and have a safe place to sleep at night and call life great? Or do you want to run with the horses? And I love it because God doesn't pacify Jeremiah. He doesn't tell Jeremiah, oh, poor Jeremiah, why don't you just rest here for a little bit and take a break? Have any of you gone to God when you're worn out and tired and you feel like he says to you, oh. I'm ready for a break. I'm like, come on, God. Hello. Driving back from the hospital one night, I'm like, can you hear me? This is what I know. We are invited. We are invited to embrace God's challenge to rise above the ordinary struggles of everyday, regular, normal life. We're invited to rise above those and pursue a life of spiritual excellence. That's the invitation. That's the invitation. So what does it look like to run with horses for you and me then? I think there's really two simple takeaways, and I was going to do three, but I didn't want to preach the third one to myself, so we just scrapped it today. Fair? Okay. Here's the first one. We've got to run beyond comfort. Man, we are obsessed people with comfort. And every time I talk about this, I start getting some snide remarks, and I love it. It just means I'm poking where it hurts, right? And so I'll take it. But seriously, we're obsessed with comfort. Every commercial on TV, every ad that you see in your social media feed, every advertisement of a billboard of sorts, it's all about making life easier, more comfortable. People are making millions of dollars off of promising us comfort, an easier life. From the pan that you don't have to wash, which nobody has invented yet, to the remote that holds all the things you control at one little device. It's all about comfort. And the issue with comfort, take note of this, I am saying it, it might irritate you, good. The issue with comfort is it is the rival to spiritual growth. It is the enemy to spiritual growth. The more comfortable we are doesn't necessarily mean the more spiritual we are. As a matter of fact, I would argue that those who are the least comfortable actually understand what the spiritual depth of a relationship with Jesus is actually like. Comfort is the rival, it's the enemy to growth. Think about your own life. When have you grown the most spiritually? When it was easy? No. We grow most when we're under pressure, when we're forced to rely and depend on God because I have no power to do anything about the circumstance or the situation that I'm in, and I am fully dependent on God in that moment. When I'm being tested and pushed, I'm not stretched when things are easy and predictable. I'm not stretched when things go the way I expect them to go. I'm not stretched when life is simple and easy. God invited Jeremiah to deliver a message that was very hard to people who didn't even want to hear the message that God had for them. And I'm reminded of this when I read Paul's writings. Before making Jesus king of his life, Paul had a great, comfortable, and important life. You can read about it in Philippians chapter 3, right? He says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason of confidence in the flesh, I have more. He's like, let me tell you my little resume. I was a good Jew, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law. I was blameless. I had it all going for me, is what Paul's letting us know. He had everything. He was an important man. But then he met Jesus and everything changed, and he walked away from comfort and he embraced a calling. And you can read about what happened to him in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Oh, sign me up. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night and hunger and thirst, often without food in cold and exposure. How's that sound? Does that sound very comfortable? But here's the thing with Paul. You read about Paul's life, he never once, not once, saw trouble and hardship and sacrifice as a loss. He viewed them as a benefit, as to something that would gain something for him. Philippians chapter 3, not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, he says, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forget what lies behind and strain towards what ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul could have chosen the easy road, couldn't he have? He could have decided to stay comfortable, the comfortable life, the easy life. Instead, Paul chose to embrace his calling. And when we embrace our calling, like Paul, we might have to give up prestige and safety and power, maybe our riches. Maybe we have to give up an easier life so we can actually run with the horses. So the question is, who will we listen to? Here's what comfort shouts. Comfort says, take it easy. Stay safe. Don't worry about anyone else. You deserve it. Jesus says, follow me. Take up your cross. Die to yourself. And you will have life. And so let me just ask you, where in life have you settled for what's easy instead of pursuing what's excellent and worthy? I want you to think about it, seriously. Where have you settled in life that has been a direct threat, especially to your spiritual growth? Where have you bought into comfort and convenience and ease at the expense of becoming more like Jesus? And so that's number one, run beyond comfort. You still with me? Still like me? Probably not. All right, that's okay. Number two, I don't like this one. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But we embrace trials. We don't run from them. We don't dodge from them. We embrace them. Why? Because there's biblical thought that trials actually prepare us to run with the horses. They do. When God said to Jeremiah in chapter 12, verse 5, if you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how will you compete with the horses? He says this, and if in a safe land you are so trusting, what will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? See, God was reminding Jeremiah right here that even the smallest of challenges actually have purpose. The smaller challenges have been training ground and preparation for the big challenges that are ahead. But hear me, they are hard. They are heartbreaking. They are demoralizing. And when you're in them, they don't feel anything like training. But God's invitation isn't ever to pretend that it's not hard. And as Christians, we get this confused. We get this confused. We're like, well, I'm a Christian, so I've just got to put on my smile and I've just got to tell everybody, how you doing? I'm great. Like we think, but never once biblically are we told to pretend that things aren't difficult. Why? Because the pain is real. The pain is real. The worry is real. The fear is real. The loss is real. The tension is real. The confusion is real. And some of us have very real, very, very hard things that we are in the middle of. You know mine. For others of you, it's health issues, right? Or the broken relationships that exist closest to you. The financial stress. Your fight against depression and loneliness. Or your addiction. Abuse. Learning to give forgiveness and receive forgiveness. Disappointments. And I am not up here to say that any of that is easy. I'm not up here to tell you that you can't be real about how hard and challenging it is. What I am here to tell you is that all of them are little moments, they're training ground for the big challenges that are ahead. James chapter 1 says this, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." He doesn't say big or small. He just says any trial of any kind that you might go through is testing ground for your faith. It produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And if you're reading James, then you understand this, that if you want to be perfect, if you want to be complete, if you want to lack in nothing, then it's going to require trials of various kinds. I think these might be the worst verses in the Bible. What James is saying is this is more than just being optimistic. This is more than just putting a smile on the face and pretending everything is okay. What James wants us to know is that God is able to use the hardest, most unwanted challenges in our life, and he will produce something in us that we could never develop without them. That's what he's saying. God uses these moments to produce steadfastness. It's a kind of resilience and depth that we can't get when life is easy and comfortable. It's just not possible. I'm reminded of what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5. He says this, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings." Can you believe the audacity? We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Man, that's my story this week. That's it. I can still, in the midst of the chaos and the pain and the uncertainty and the unknown, I can still declare to God, "God, thank you." Because through our life, we have these moments of trials that have produced suffering, and that suffering has produced endurance, and that endurance has produced a character in us that gives us hope. A hope that can't be shaken, a hope that can't be taken, the hope that regardless of how dark and terrible the circumstances might be, is in us. Why? Because I've got a God who loves my son more than I do. Because I have a God who's not surprised by the circumstances we're in the middle of. Because I have a God who sees and knows and is already working ahead of us in areas that we can't even begin to understand or grasp. Paul didn't say suffering feels good. He didn't say, "Sign me up for more." He doesn't say God causes all suffering. What Paul says is that God can take even what is painful, what seems so meaningless, what's so sad, and he can weave it and mold it and shape it into something that matures us, deepens us, and gives us a hope that can be unshaken because of his love for us. Do you get it? What we can't always see, by the way, when we're in the middle of it, I'm not sure what the good is of all this stuff. I've seen glimpses, but I don't feel like the glimpses of the good that's coming out of it outweighs the pain that we're in the middle of. Yet. But I know this. I wouldn't be who I am today without struggle, without pain, without challenges. I don't like it. I didn't want it. God used it. God is using it. So let me just say this. If any of us are struggling today, you don't have to pretend. You don't. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to put on a fake smile. If you ask me today how I am, the truth is I don't know. I don't know. And I'm going to tell you that. My personality, I'll talk about this next week a little bit. My personality, I don't often know how I am until I get enough time to sit down and really, really journal and write some things and discover what's going on. Right now, I just want to help people. And right now, I'm helping my wife, and I'm helping make sure my youngest son gets where he needs to be, and I'm making sure Tucker is taken care of. Like, that's what I'm doing because that's who I am. Have I had my moments? Oh, you don't want to be in the car with me on the drive from the hospital home alone. So I try to make sure somebody's with me. But I don't know. I'm not going to pretend that I'm good. I'm not going to pretend I'm bad because I don't know. Does that make sense? And I'm okay saying that, and I want you to be okay with me saying that. I know this, we have great people, incredible people. I've been able to celebrate our church family in ways that I never anticipated we could celebrate our church family. You guys rock. I mean, seriously, stellar. Stellar. But we don't have to pretend, we don't have to put on a smile. But listen carefully. What you're in the middle of, the moment isn't wasted. It's not wasted. What breaks us, God promises to build faith in us, to give us strength, to develop endurance for what is ahead. And so you can tell God, just like I've told God, I don't like this. I don't like this one bit. Hello, can you hear me? But while we're telling God how much we don't like it, let's be sure to tell God, God, shape me. God, build me. God, mold me. God, give me strength. God, help me have endurance. I mean, I preached this sermon, and I really didn't want to preach all of this in the sermon because there's a part of me that's like, okay, I think we've hit the worst of the worst in our life. I sure hope this isn't preparing us for something more. But I'm saying to God, God, I'm not pretending, but at the same time, don't let these moments be wasted. Don't let these moments be wasted. We've been invited, people. We've been challenged to stretch, to be stretched beyond our current limitations. We're invited to overcome daunting enemies instead of being worn out by them. Like, that's our invitation. The horse represents greater and more intense trials and greater and more intense enemies, which require more strength and superior strength and reliance on God to endure and reliance on God to overcome. Running with men reminds us certainly of the initial struggles and hardships, but running with horses, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. That means there's dangerous challenges ahead. And if you're going to run with horses, we're going to need a strength beyond what we think we can bear. And we are challenged. We are invited to endure. Meaning that if we're going to endure, we need deeper reliance on some kind of divine power to face and overcome the harder things ahead. And I am telling you, I have no idea how people who have no hope in the Lord navigate through such hard things. I don't know. We're invited to endure, to run with horses. That's to be able to withstand more intense situations and more intense challenges, to keep pace with a highly skilled enemy, we will be stretched to the fullest capacity, and we will find that with him we can overcome and live victorious. But I am here to tell you, human strength is insufficient. Human strength does not suffice. You can't do it on your own. We need God's strength to succeed. Our training is a process of being prepared, continuing to be strengthened, to be able to face more difficult situations, meaning that we will find deeper capacity, capability, and growth beyond anything that we could have ever imagined. And so here's what I'm going to tell you, church. Every day I will choose to run with horses. Will you? Will you choose to accept the invitation to run with horses, or will you choose just to be like everyone else? Will you choose comfort and ease? Or will you declare to God, God, I am with you and I will run with you? I just want us to move into a time of prayer right now. And I know some of you, you're going through some really hard things. And I want you to take a few moments. I want you to tell God, God, this is hard. This stinks. God, I don't like it. Don't pretend with God. Tell him. He knows. Tell him how hard it is and how frustrating it is. And once you've done that, I want you to tell God, God, but I don't want you to, don't waste this moment. God, build something in me. Build something in me that's from you so I can withstand whatever comes my way. And so why don't you just for a moment, just you can bow your head, you can close your eyes, and you can just talk to God. Maybe you're going through some really hard things right now. It's hard, it's painful, and it hurts. And the outcome is so incredibly uncertain that you don't even know what to think about it, right? And maybe you're like me, you're just saying, God, give me the why. If you could give me a little bit of the why, I'll keep running, I'll keep going, I'll keep... But maybe you're in some really tough things right now. And you're like Jeremiah, you're worn out, you're torn down, and you're just saying, God, let me just go hide somewhere. Maybe you're like Jeremiah, you're saying, God, why don't you do something about this already? If you're in the room or online, I just want to pray for you. If you're going through some really challenging, hard things right now, and you're ready to throw in the towel and say, man, this is just too hard, I want to ask God to give you strength and his presence to remind you that he's with you, that moments aren't wasted. And so if you'd be so bold and courageous, because you're going through some really hard things right now, to either let us know online or to stand up if you're in the room and let us just pray for you right now. So I want to invite you to do that. Thanks, Nell. Maybe if you're near someone, would you just kind of put your arm on their shoulder? You can need to ask them first if it's okay, but just put your arm on their shoulder. Stella's back here. Would somebody just put their arm on Stella, please? Thanks, guys. God, it's real. The struggle is real. The pain is real. The uncertainty is so frustrating. The brokenness, the heartbreak. God, we don't like it. We don't like it at all. But God, don't waste a moment. God, give us strength and endurance to run with horses. God, give us an unwavering trust that you are good. That you are kind, that you are with us. Strengthen us beyond our circumstances and shape in us and mold in us something that's crafted and designed by you. Help us run. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to move to our time of communion. And every week at Mountain View, we pause. And we break bread and we drink the juice. And the reason we do this is because it's an opportunity to be reminded of the pain and the suffering that God's own Son went through. It's a reminder that Jesus suffered, he bled, and he died, but he rose victorious. And whether here or there, living in the tension between the here and the now and the then and the there, regardless, we too will rise victoriously. Those of us who are in Jesus, we're promised a resurrection. A victorious resurrection. And so it's really declaring, and I've said this for several weeks, as we eat the bread and we drink the juice, it's declaring to the powers of this world and the powers of the enemy, you don't have any. You don't have any. You've been conquered. Move aside. I'm trying to run with horses. And so eat the bread and drink the juice and remember, that in Jesus, we have the same promise. You're free to go. There's a table back here, one up in the balcony, and two over here.
Just lift up those lyrics. You make all things work together for my future and for my good. You make all things work together for your glory and for your name, Jesus. There's a healing light just beyond the clouds. Though I've walked through fire, I see clearly now. I know nothing has been wasted, no failure, no mistakes, because Lord, you are an artist, you are a potter, and we're the canvas and the clay. And so Lord, just let that be a reminder of no matter where we are at, Lord, you have us in your hands, and you are working together with us for your good. And so whatever we're in, it's just not wasted. And if we're going to run with the horses, Lord, we need your power and your strength to do so. And so, Lord, we come to you, we come before you, asking for your power and your strength because we can't do anything without you, Lord. And so be with us and help us run with the horses. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, Jeremiah, I'm going to say it's going to be a doozy. We want to invite you to join along for a reading plan. And so it's going to help make everything just make more sense. And we want to do it together. We want to be united as a church and read through the book of Jeremiah. And so there's papers out in the foyer with the reading plan. We just encourage you, pick that up. We're going to start today. And there's these really cool things. It's called the Bible Project. How many of you know what the Bible Project is? Yeah. So if you don't, BibleProject.com, it's a great resource. And it gives us the overview of Jeremiah. And so there's a, on our website, you will find there's the link to the Bible Project Jeremiah overview video. And we're going to start today. And just listen, it's a lot to take in. So just watch it. And you can watch it even every morning that you decide to wake up and read Jeremiah. And so we've created a plan. We have linked the Bible Project video. It is all on that piece of paper that you will pick up in the foyer, or it is on our website for you to reference as well. And so I just want to encourage you today, let's commit to reading through Jeremiah for the next, is it 8 weeks, 9 weeks? 9 weeks, thank you. And so I just want to encourage you, join us, read through Jeremiah, and let's talk about it. Let's interact with it. If you're on socials, let's have a conversation. What's Jeremiah talking about? What's he doing in us? What is he doing around us? Those are some questions that we're always asking. And so just encourage you to pick one of those up today. And then lastly, if you are new with us or you want to take a next steps with us, there's the Connect card in the back of the chair. And I just encourage you, grab that card, fill it out, and take it to Pastor Craig. He would love to say hello to you, or he would love to help you take a next step here at Mountain View. And so thank you all for being here. We had an amazing time worshiping alongside each and every one of you. Be blessed.